You'll find your judge embalmed in wax. He's a wax statue, I tell you, along with all the others. It's a morgue, I tell you. A morgue. A morgue. Arthur Edmund Carew impression.
You there, who are you?
I'm Justin Souther,
film critic. What a tragedy.
With the Mount Express.
Even more of a tragedy. That must make me Ken Hanke, the other film critic from the Mount Express.
Yes.
They'll find me out one day and that'll be the end of this. And what are we?
We're elitist bastards.
Yeah, we are. We're elitist bastards, that's true. We've been to the movies.
Where are we?
It's a question I oft ask myself, and that there is no good answer. Or do you mean on a more physical plane than a metaphysical?
Whatever you wanted to mean, Kim.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd like to say that we are in the bar of the cinema lounge.
Literally in it.
In it, yes.
Trapped
in the bar, in the cinema lounge, in a Chinese fortune cookie factory. No, that's something else entirely. And that is at the Carolina. In Asheville, and it's located on
Hendersonville Road.
Oh, Hendersonville Road, yes, okay. And we've been to
between the scenic Wendy's, yes, and Boston Market.
Well, we have been to the movies, am I correct?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And we're going to discuss them at length.
Indeterminate length.
If you use that line, it won't get you anywhere.
I mean, it just depends on temperature.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
It's all up to you.
Yeah, that's... Well, I think we'll let that pass, and...
What are we starting with, Kim?
I don't know. Why don't we start with some movie or other?
Okay. I can start, I guess.
Wait, why don't you start with one of those L movies you saw?
Which one did I watch first?
I wasn't there.
Limitless.
If I was there, I'd have seen it with you.
Well, that doesn't happen.
Well, I know. Very rarely.
I watched Limitless, which was...
I watched Machete with you.
That's true.
And Scott Pilgrim.
Also, when I recommend stuff, you don't go watch it. Which, I mean... What does that say, Ken?
Then I'm lazy.
But he gets mad at me if I don't watch something. So
you're,
I did
younger
see
and, you're younger and more, agile.
That's not an excuse.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. I can't recall anything that you have just, raved about, recommended.
I've given stuff 4.5 and 5-star reviews that you haven't seen.
Oh, well. Whatever. Anyway. Anyway, let's hear about this limitless thing.
Why would they care what I think if Ken Hanke doesn't?
I might care, but it doesn't necessarily mean I want to see the movie.
Fair enough.
I mean, they're... I'll read about a lot of movies that under, they might be good, but it doesn't mean I want to see them.
Well. Anyway.
Anyway, let's hear about this Limitless movie.
It's basically...
starting to be endless as well as limitless, isn't it?
It's basically a tale about how drugs aren't so bad if you do them in moderation and stay away from shady people.
I have no problem with that, except that isn't it kind of hard to stay away from shady people?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But if you kill most of them, or...
That's frowned upon in polite society.
If they die or they get killed, and you run for Senate,
That is what you have gotten
from
this
you do.
Movie thematically.
But what about the rest of them?
Yeah, what is the story here? And
Bradley Cooper is a shaggy rider.
Okay.
Much like a shaggy dog.
I thought so.
Who gets given this clear pill that makes his brain work at its full capacity. And he becomes some sort of super motivated super genius.
I'm sorry, there's something mildly amusing to me about the idea of Bradley Cooper's brain at full capacity.
Well, it's called a movie, Ken.
Oh, okay, okay. Like, you know, Miley Cyrus's brain at full power. What is that?
Are you saying Bradley Cooper's stupid?
No.
You don't even know Bradley Cooper.
I don't know Bradley Cooper, but he's been in some really bad movies.
He's been in some good stuff.
Yeah, Midnight Meat Train.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it.
He hasn't been bad at anything.
No, except for the stupidity of signing a contract.
Yeah, so. You gotta pay the bills, Ken.
That's true.
Are you saying you wouldn't be in The Hangover if they gave you a few million dollars?
Well, a few million dollars, yeah. I'm a whore. We know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so what not, are you? Yeah. Why are you begrudging Bradley Cooper?
Because I can.
Because you weren't. You're just jealous.
Because no one's offered me the goddamn $1 million to be in a bad movie.
Well, $1 million doesn't make you rich anymore. It's $7 million.
I'll settle.
This is what millionaires have said.
I'm happy.
Poor
for
people.
Them.
People with $1 million are not don't feel rich anymore, Ken. And I want you to go.
I'm
to bed.
Old enough that I could really subsist.
Which what does it say about the rest of us that don't have?
Yeah. Well, we're really you know.
Yeah, destitute.
You know, I work for the Mountain Express. I'm below the poverty line anyway. So
the fine people with the Mountain Express.
The fine people with the Mountain Express.
The movie's stylish in a phony kind of clever way.
Are you saying it's like style grafted on top?
Yeah, it's like, here's
like
some
intrinsic.
Neat things going on that aren't that neat because they look kind of cheap.
I know a street boy like that once.
The movie, if you examine it too hard, I don't think it would make too much sense because for somebody who's supposed to be really smart, he does some really boneheaded things throughout the movie. Like, if you're carrying around a bag full of drugs that you need, that you keep having withdrawals, and your only hope for keep staying smart are these drugs, you think you would check your pocket if somebody took your coat for you?
I don't think I'd let anybody take my
constantly.
Coat. Yeah.
I get paranoid if I've lost my car keys. I can't imagine.
Well, you should. You know,
so,
yeah.
But
I can't imagine if he lost his smart pills.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What do you do without those smart pills? But De Niro doesn't quite embarrass himself. He's in it.
At least a man named Van Loon or something. I mean,
which isn't as awesome as you would hope.
Oh, okay.
And
I was hoping he was going to choose some scenery for me. No?
No, not really. I mean, it's not bad. It's entertaining. I'll say it's a good movie. It's entertaining. If there's nothing deep about it.
So tell me, are you recommending I go to this movie?
Not you.
Oh, okay.
But
are you recommending that Steve go to this movie?
No, there's better stuff out. But if you've seen everything,
well, yeah,
maybe.
Okay. I mean, and right now it wouldn't be hard to see all the good stuff.
Right. I mean, there's stuff this week that I would recommend Paul easily before. I would recommend.
Oh yeah, well, sight unseen, I probably would too.
So if you're putting it down to that, no, I would not.
All right.
And the same for The Lincoln Lawyer.
You want to go ahead and tell us?
Yeah,
about
we'll
since
go ahead
started?
And talk about
okay.
The Lincoln Lawyer, and then you can just take over from here, and I'll.
What, you're gonna wander off?
Take a nap.
It's your chance to make fun of me.
For what?
Well, I haven't said anything yet, but okay. When I do, you know.
Okay. So, Lincoln Lawyer. With Matthew McConaughey making people think he passed the bar exam. He does not take his shirt off.
That's a major
no, there's key. There's a love scene. I don't remember. I think he takes his shirt off, but there's no like gratuitous. Like.
There's no gratuitous McConaughey-ness?
No.
Oh,
he actually reminds you of when he was kind of good at one point early on before he became this bubble-headed bongo player.
I don't remember when that was, but
he was respectable. I mean, I'm not saying but he's not like.
No, I realize he's become a joke.
Yeah,
you know.
Before he was a joke. How's that?
Okay. Comparatively speaking,
yeah.
Comparatively respectable.
I mean, it's not a very complicated movie, but it's enough for him to carry, for the most part.
You see, I think the first thing I saw him in was that thing where he fought dragons.
Well, it's your fault.
Well, it may be. Comes with a job, though.
True.
I don't even remember what that was called now.
Ring of Fire. Ring of Fire. Steve tells us.
Rain of Fire.
Rain of Fire, not Ring of Fire. Ring of Fire is Johnny Cash.
That's true. Yeah.
You fall into it. Okay.
No. Anyway.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, back to the Lincoln Log.
As far as, again, it's another movie where it's perfectly entertaining. Maybe a little bit more so. I would probably recommend it for, I don't know, depending on the person. But it's just like twisting, turning courtroom drama where every 10 minutes there's
a revelation.
Twist. Yes.
And the basic premise of this?
Ryan Phillippe is a snotty, privileged, rich kid. A little bit homophobic. Huge asshole.
He's playing himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He gets busted for beating up a hooker. And they call in Matthew McConaughey to get him out. Who is a lawyer. Matthew McConaughey plays a lawyer who rides around in Lincoln.
As the title would imply, yes, unless he was, you know, defending Abraham over something.
Right. So. Which Abraham? Biblical Abraham?
No, the Lincoln one.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I don't think the biblical Abraham's last name was Lincoln. I think it was Cohen.
Nonetheless. It becomes this big mess of, kind of a mess of a movie where everything's constantly shifting on who's the bad guy.
Does he really rough up John Leguizamo?
Yes, for a second.
I still think that's funny.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's entertaining. It's really convoluted to the point I couldn't follow it at parts, especially the courtroom stuff. I didn't know what was going on. But I just kind of go with it, and it sort of makes sense. And...
Would you recommend my mother go see this? She wanted to know.
Yes.
Okay.
Your mother would love it.
Yeah, she probably would.
Judging by the demographic that
yes.
I saw it with.
Okay. Oh, I'll say. So if you're 82, you'll love this movie.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's all I have to say.
That's all you have to say about anything?
About the Lincoln Lawyer.
Ah, well.
What do you have to say? I did see Paul.
So you can palaver with me on this.
Yes, or attempt to.
Okay. Well, I really liked Paul.
So did I.
Wow. Obviously, it was not another Drive Angry 3D.
No.
Okay.
This was actually good. So. And entertaining.
Okay. Yeah, I agree that it is actually good and entertaining.
Right.
What I like about it, you know, if we don't tell him what the plot is, he's going to ask us.
Right.
Yeah, he's funny that way, and I don't know
why. Well, you have these two British nerds who have come to America for the first time.
Yes, they've gone to Comic-Con.
It's been their dream to come to America. For...
Little did they know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. And they're like
they go
making
to California.
Well, they went to Comic-Con.
I know.
I mean, so I mean, they have a sort of legitimate excuse for right. nerds. But then they go tour the UFO belt, and where they run afoul of a small. Green man, well, greenish, who of course is an alien who crashed in what 1951 or something.
I think
somewhere around there. Anyway,
47.
Was he that far back? I mean,
I think so. I don't know.
Maybe that would seem to make Blythe Danner somewhat older than I would think is possible. Well, it's not.
No.
Maybe so. In any case, I guess it would work. And they befriend him and. At least against one of them's better judgment, they
right.
help him get back to where he's from. Right. When they first meet him, and he has a car crash, because apparently he can't drive a car any better than he can pilot a flying saucer. So, and it's not... The thing about it is that I didn't find it to be hysterically funny all that often.
Right.
But I found it to be pleasant
right.
and entertaining... Pretty much consistently.
I'd agree.
And I think it plays to the you know, I mean, this whole so-called bromance thing, which I despise the term, you know, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost can do this sort of thing, and they don't even bother worrying about the gay subtext of the whole thing. And this has been consistent. And I think that made them actually a kind of a good pair with Greg Mottola, because that was the thing that was the best about Superbad, right, was the relationship between the two boys and the fact that it has that undercurrent, but nobody gets all bent out of shape over it.
And it's a much different... The humor is similar to Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead, but it's a lot less...
It's less frantic.
But I think that I couldn't imagine Edgar Wright making this movie. I don't think it would.
No, I don't think it would in many respects. Are you now of the many people that I know who want one of those Evolve This t-shirts? Yes, that's what I figured. I'm assuming that Miami Steve has not seen this film. You too will want one of these t-shirts.
Kristen Wiig in a shirt that says Evolve This and has Jesus shooting Charles Darwin in the face.
I definitely want one of those.
Yes, I think this shirt could be a big seller if they tried to market
this.
I haven't tried. I don't know. You know, it's kind of like the male motherfucker thing that was easy to find, or it was easy for Heath to find.
I'm sure somebody will make it at some point.
But you know, it's a nice film. It's a charming film. It's actually a sweet film. It does have a few really hysterically funny things.
One you're going to talk about.
I won't talk about it though.
Good, because I figured it out. Because you told me what it was. I was like, oh, that's the only thing it could be.
Oh, okay.
So I figured out the joke that you liked.
Oh, okay.
Because you told me.
Well, I had to have nerds explain the Star Wars joke at the in the redneck bar to me.
Oh, I got that.
Okay. Well, I didn't.
They go in this trucker bar, and there's a bluegrass band playing the Cantina song from Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
See, I haven't seen Star Wars since 1978.
You get the Close Encounters?
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to think of what else is in there.
And although I didn't notice that it was playing on television, I did get the Kirk and the cheesy lizard-headed alien fighting.
Right. I did like the asshole science fiction writer.
That could be so many people.
Yeah. And the titles of the books they kept coming up with.
And then the running gag about three tits.
A very loving movie for nerds.
Yes.
I've seen stuff like...
It doesn't really condescend to nerds.
And it's not just that. What was that movie about the guys breaking in to watch Star Wars?
Fanboys.
Yeah. I saw that, and it's the same... It's too much references. The whole movie is references to stuff. This, it's like...
Well, I was
entertained.
There's
a story, and then there's the references.
Well, the thing about this was I was entertained on occasions when I didn't necessarily catch the reference.
Right. But there's a huge difference between just constantly referencing things. In the way...
Well, there's also this peculiar notion, which I guess dates back to Shrek, that it's funny if you just reference something. It doesn't have to have any intrinsic humor itself. It's just the fact that you've made a reference to something.
Right.
And I've not quite understood how that's exactly funny.
Because you know something.
That's why. It's kind of like... But that's like when I saw South Park Bigger, Longer, Uncut.
Uh-huh.
And myself and the two people I went with are the only people in the audience laughing at a piano boldly emblazoned with Felcher and Sons on it. And the rest of the audience is looking at us like, what?
Now, what does that say about you?
That I know dirty words before most of the public. So anyway, I would recommend Paul, and I would recommend it, especially by virtue of the fact that it didn't open that big. And I think it's a film that deserves a bigger audience than it looks like it's getting. Especially because nothing that's coming out this week looks like it's worth a damn.
But it's also one of those movies I could see getting a following.
Oh, yeah. I could see it getting a following. It's the kind of thing like... Well, you remember when...
Because it did open bigger than Hot Fuzz or Shaun of the Dead, but it also cost more.
Yeah.
Apparently, so...
But Shaun of the Dead didn't really catch on. Hot Fuzz did. I mean, Shaun of the Dead got a cult.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, Shaun of the Dead never even played theatrically here.
Right.
So, I'm not saying that Asheville is a barometer of that, but if you don't, if you've got a quirky film and it doesn't play theatrically in Asheville, there's something not going on right. So, what else did I see?
You saw Somewhere.
Oh, I saw Somewhere, the new...
Your favorite.
Sofia Coppola film, yeah.
Right.
Yes, well, and that opens... I've seen it, but that doesn't open until this Friday.
I wasn't sure if it was an F or PH in her name.
A what?
I thought it was a S-O-P-H.
I think it's an F, isn't it?
It is. Okay. I was double-checking.
All right. Anyway, it's the later... The newest... Sofia Coppola navel-gazing picture. It's not so easy to say with false teeth.
You were dreading this movie.
I was dreading this movie. Before
you even knew it existed, you could feel it.
Yes, I knew that there had been, you know, a disturbance in the universe,
right.
And I knew that it was going to be a new Sofia Coppola picture. And... than people I knew who were getting screeners because it was an award season thing were like, oh God, it's horrible. It's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. It's as bad as everything else she's made. Well, that's fine. It's not as bad as everything else she's made. I didn't mind it. I'm not saying I enjoyed it particularly, but I didn't hate it. And, you know, but it is typical ennui of the rich and famous. You've got... what's his name? Steven Dorff, still looking for that career that he was promised back when he made Backbeat about, what, now? 16, 17 years ago?
Are you saying Fear.com did not shoot him
into superstardom? I know myself and one other person on the face of the earth who likes Fear.com.
Okay.
So, you know, that's probably not a recommend. I believe that Fear.com has two good reviews, and one of them is mine.
Okay.
No, it didn't do anything. Okay. Anyway, so he plays an actor who has broken his wrist and is holed up in, apparently in between residences at the Chateau Marmont Hotel in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And all he does is he watches a couple of bimbos who carry their own stripper pole, but they never actually strip, do dances on this pole in his room. And occasionally have sex with anybody that crosses his path. And he also receives... I've seen them referred to in other reviews as threatening text messages. They're really just messages saying, what's your fucking problem? Or, you're really an asshole. I mean, nobody actually threatens him with anything. But this does make him somewhat paranoid. And he drives around L.A. in his Ferrari, which... the opening of the film is this... his black Ferrari driving around in a circle. This goes on for nigh on to forever. Which is, I'm sure, is symbolic of his life. And that is kind of necessary, though, because it's the only thing that makes the movie work, is that combined with the ending of the movie. His ex-wife dumps their 11-year-old daughter on him for an indeterminate period of time. And... dumb as this sounds, it actually kind of works once they start having some kind of relationship. But unless you're, you know, going to tap into the Sofia Coppola, poor little rich people vibe that moves at what can only be described charitably as a leisurely pace, it's probably not for you. But I didn't hate it, and that was a major accomplishment, I thought.
Well, good.
So.
But on the brighter side...
on the brighter side is a little picture called Today's Special.
Which is not the children's show.
No, and I could have lived forever without seeing that YouTube clip from the children's show you sent me.
Steve, do you know what... okay.
I used to watch Nickelodeon all the time.
This explains much.
We were of that generation, Ken. Like, and we're your children.
We'll
dare
see.
You judge us.
Be because I knew Yogi Bear was crap when I was 6 years old.
Well,
I'm not saying I didn't watch it, but I knew it was crap.
I didn't like Scooby-Doo.
Okay, that's
she
your
was
favorite.
Obnoxious. That's especially your favorite. Scrappy. Jesus.
It was hell, recalls former child Justin Souther.
Anyway,
yes.
This is not a children's show.
It is not a children's show.
Movie.
It is a very likable adult movie. The language makes it an R. About a young man played by Asaf Manvi, I think his name is. Apparently, I should know him from The Daily Show, but since I have seen maybe two Daily Shows, I don't know him from The Daily Show. I did recognize that he had been in things that I had seen, and I had seen him in them. Like he's the doctor in...
Is it Sunshine?
No, he's the doctor in... I think he's the doctor in It's Kind of a Funny Story.
He might be in that. I forget.
He's very briefly. I mean, not like a major
role. He's also
role.
In The Last Airbender, I believe. Much more prominent.
Yeah, but that was not a movie that I wanted to see, nor is it one you recommended,
no.
I see. to go back to that particular sore spot, such as it is. he is a sous chef at a pricey New York restaurant who gets passed over for a promotion. And so he quits. He's going to go, he thinks, to Paris and work with some famous chef. But instead, his father, who runs a greasy spoon in Queens, the Tandoori Palace, has a heart attack, and he has to take over that for a while, which ultimately it's pretty obvious what's going to happen here. And there's also a kind of a magical cab driver who teaches him how to cook with his heart rather than with his just with his head.
Probably easier if he used his hands.
Well, yes, actually.
And maybe cooking utensils.
Cooking utensils would be a good thing too. Actually,
a spatula.
He's recommended that you. It essentially comes from your heart, your stomach, and a slightly lower region.
So it's eat, pray, love.
Yeah, the sort of thing. Yeah, but it works because it is constantly not doing exactly what you expect it to do. When it does what you expect it to do, it's what you want it to do, too.
So you like this movie?
Yeah, I think that it's unfortunate that people are probably going to avoid it because it's like they don't know what it is, they don't know who's in it. The title is not good. I mean, regardless of the children's special, it's not a great title. This was made by the same guy who made Year of the Fish, which is one of the few films from the Asheville Film Festival that I actually went out of my way to hold on to a copy of.
That in Ghost Town.
No, I did not. And let's be honest. No, the full title is Dean Teaster's Ghost Town.
What was the other movie you kept filming?
I wish I had kept, but I cannot seem to find a copy of My Dinner with Jimmy. And I also kept a copy of Randy and the Mob. And I might have kept a copy. Have kept a copy of Blood Car. And I'm not saying all the others were bad. Bart Got a Room was a charming film. The film that won the last year before the city took the festival down to the river in a burlap bag and drowned it was a charming film. But it's not something I ever felt like I would want to see again.
Right.
So, but I really do recommend today's special if it happens to be playing near you. And, of course, if you're in Asheville, it is playing near you. So...
There you go.
Does that bring us up to date?
Yes.
It does.
Did today's special get released late or something? It said on IMDb that it was like a 2009 film.
Well, it appears to have been shot in 2008. It was apparently shot right after... it's only barely got a release. It's from a little company called Vitagraph Films. Huh. And the only reason that we have it here is that Niels Booker ran it at his theater in Connecticut, and it turned out to do an astounding amount of business based on word of mouth because people who saw it went and told their friends and they came back and saw it. And right now, art film is not, there's not a whole lot of it out there.
Oh.
And so, you know, things are getting breaks that otherwise probably wouldn't get breaks.
We have Asheville Film Society Tuesday.
At
where?
What time?
At 8. Where is that, Ken?
It's in the Cinema Lounge.
Yes.
Yes.
If you don't know where that is, refer to the beginning of the podcast.
That's right. Yes.
And then come back to this.
And then come back, yes.
We'll tell you all about it.
We'll tell you about it there. And, you know, just, you can do this. I have faith in our audience that they can...
Figure this out,
yes. And this week, it is going to be William Dieterle's Portrait of Jenny, uh-huh. which is, to my mind, possibly the most romantic movie ever made.
And more than Say Anything?
Far more than Say Anything.
But he has the radio on the rain. Peter Gabriel. Isn't that romantic?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, why is this more romantic?
Well, because this is utterly so. This is not the kind of romantic that you're going to find in any modern movie that I can think of, because okay. this is very ethereal. It's very what am I looking for? It's mystical. It's essentially a romantic ghost story when it comes right down to it. And
isn't that what Ghost Town was?
No.
Okay.
Slap him.
Dean Teaster's ghost.
Come on. You got my permission. Hit him. Here, somebody else might hit you. Okay. No, he's not going to hit you either. You can't get any cooperation out of people for hitting Justin. I have to do it myself. I'm scared he might beat me up.
Might break a sweat, Ken.
That's true, and I don't want to do that. I get all sweaty and die. Anyway, it's a wonderful film. If you understood this, which you won't because you don't know my feelings about, it's a movie where I actually like Jennifer Jones. And Jennifer Jones is an actress who, I swear to God, in every film she was in, except this one, I feel like there's somebody about 5 feet out of camera range going, eyes and teeth, every time you see her. You see the white all around her eyes and she smiles all the goddamn time. And I just want to smack her. But I find this one really, really works. It's also really neat. It's got all sorts of artistic overlays. It's got an all Debussy soundtrack. It's got some sepia-toned footage. The storm sequences are tinted green. And unfortunately, you can't really duplicate this when it was originally released in 1948. The screen opened up bigger for the storm sequences. And that's kind of hard to, you know, that's... requires really special
right.
considerations to do. But I mean, it's a terrific little film that not enough people know, and hopefully some of those not enough people will come see it. Of course, I recommend it. I programmed the damn thing. 5 stars, Ken Hanke, Mountain Express. There you go. What more do you want?
He programmed stuff he doesn't like before.
So. I have before because people have wanted to see it.
Well,
there are areas where I do
Black Sunday, where you don't even show up.
Tee hee hee. Oh, yes, the upcomers.
Well, there's somewhere, and there's today's special. Somewhere at the Carolina.
That's true.
And then
today's special, and we've already talked about those. So that leads us to talk about Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Roderick Rules.
Yes. The sequel to...
Which you can talk about because you saw the first one.
Yes, which surprisingly liked the first one, maybe more than I like to admit, because it's sort of... It reminds me of a lot of, to an extent, like, when children's, or like, preteen children's programming was really weird, like, sort of like Pete and Pete. Sort of like Erie, Indiana. Kind of odd and quirky. The guy that has made these books obviously isn't pandering to kids, which is good. He seems to have a bit of intelligence and doesn't think they're stupid. So,
okay.
And the first one, I think, attested to that
And you're going to see if the second one does.
Yes. And the director is better than... has better credits. He made Astro Boy and Flushed Away, which I both liked, so...
That's definitely better than Hotel for Dogs.
Yes. So, I'm actually kind of looking forward to Diary of a Wimpy Kid 2. Believe it or not.
I believe it, and...
I might actually be coming out on top this week.
You might. Because I get to do Sucker Punch.
Yes.
And this as looks, the reviews have come out...
Is it bad?
It's been... The word bloodbath comes to mind.
For the movie or for the...
For the movie. The movie has... there are still very few reviews, so you can't really tell anything. But right now it's at about the 30% mark.
Well, 300, my biggest problem with that movie is just boring. Watchmen even more so.
I hated 300, which I, you know, despite the fact that it had all that beefcake in it, I thought was the most intensely homophobic thing I had ever seen, and also xenophobic, and also, you know, oh, well, none of this would have ever happened if you'd killed off that ugly hunchback in the first scene when it was born, like you're supposed to do.
Right.
You know, I mean, I despised that film. That is one of the few films that I have sat through where the person sitting through the film with me was sitting there about halfway through, and he goes, "This is really making you mad, isn't it?" I'm like, "Yes, it is." So I actually liked Watchmen somewhat better, even though it was boring.
So boring.
But it had a good opening.
Oh, okay.
And okay, then, so the first 5 minutes was good. You know, hey, that's more
what
than
about
I can...
the next 2 hours and 25 minutes?
They weren't good. They weren't good.
The Dr. Manhattan thing in the middle that really had nothing to do with the rest of the movie was good.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But then the rest of it
the ending
in slow
would have
motion.
Been good if they had actually dropped an octopus. Huh. So in any case, Sucker Punch is my lot in life.
Yes.
Tomorrow, and I know
and
people,
I really did feel clever.
You did.
When I figured out that from the trailer of Sucker Punch it's just Lisa Frank from All Goss.
Well, I mean, I do know that at least one of the people I'm sure is struggling with his sexual identity wants to go see the movie simply because it has young girls in skimpy costumes.
Well, that's the whole stupid premise is...
Well, you know, I mean, it's going to... I feel that it is probably going to be just absolutely god-awful, but...
He needs to grow up, basically.
Oh, well, we'll see.
Having the fantasy of a 13-year-old boy.
Oh, he has fantasies about 13-year-old boys? It wouldn't surprise me.
No, this is what this movie is.
That's what this movie is. Okay.
We're going to have giant samurais and hot chicks and sweet metal tunes.
You know, the thing I think that I'll cut some slack for Watchmen, simply because I really enjoyed listening to all the nervous fanboys. Oh, man, look at that big blue dick. It's going to make me queer. You know, that was hysterical. But,
well,
you know.
This is probably making up for it.
There
would be no point where you
compensation,
have to,
I'm sure
question
you
your sexuality.
No. Well, no, I suspect not. No. So, in any case, I think that probably takes care of us for this week. Who are you?
I'm Justin Sowler. You're Ken Henke.
That's right. What do we do?
We watch movies and talk about them.
Yeah,
and write about
but,
them.
But who do we do it for?
The Mountain Express.
Oh, yes. And they're the fine folks who make this possible. And put up with us, and it's only because they never listened to it, and of course they provide our magnificent, glorious, wondrous, stupendous, barely functional coherer, Miami Steve Shanafelt.
And I have to listen to it at least twice.
And so that's his burden in life, and
it was his
that
idea,
makes me smile.
So.